Our opening reading today comes from the central portion of the book of the prophet Isaiah. And this is a portion of a passage that makes reference to a figure that we call the suffering servant. The suffering servant was a mysterious figure. Like many of the figures in the Old Testament that are just kind of mentioned, we don't know a lot about them. We don't know exactly who this might have been in reference to in the mind of the writer. Could have been Isaiah himself. Could have been one of the other prophets. But at any rate, we as Christians find the fulfillment of this passage in the person of Jesus Christ. My servant, God says through Isaiah, will justify many through his death, through his suffering, through his persecution and such. And we see that in Jesus, illustrated most strongly on the cross. And throughout his life, I think he knew persecution, he knew trial, he knew suffering. He knew the suffering of poverty, he knew the suffering of being ignored, he knew the suffering of being misunderstood, he knew the suffering of being ridiculed and persecuted, even to the point of death. But it is through this suffering servant that we hear in Isaiah that all the peoples will be drawn to God. All the people will have their sins washed away. And again, that is no mistake. Even though Isaiah wrote hundreds of years before Jesus, it is most definitely speaking about him. The final words of Isaiah here, it says, "It is too little, the Lord says, for you to be my servant." This is God the Father speaking to this servant. And if you can imagine, just kind of then plug Jesus in there. "It is too little for you to be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob to restore the survivors of Israel. I will make you a light to the nations," that is all the other peoples of the world, not just the Jewish people, "that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth." I don't think many of us here, at least not that we know of, have too much Jewish blood in our veins. Most of us are Gentiles. But this is very good news that we hear in the prophet Isaiah. That salvation, that the Lord's favor is not just meant for this small group of people that identified themselves as Israelites, but everyone. The idea is that through the Israelites, through their people, particularly through Jesus, that the world can know salvation. That's what we hope for. And that's the hope that we're asked to extend to other people. I'm always talking about that, but we are called to be holy, as Paul says to us in his first letter to the Corinthians today. He says, you're called to be holy, sanctified in Jesus Christ, so that all people can come to know him. All people can come to know his salvation. How does that salvation happen? Well, it only happens through one thing. It doesn't happen through our efforts. It doesn't happen through our good intentions. It doesn't happen through any of that stuff. Not fundamentally. Those things are necessary. You know, our good actions, our good intentions. We need those. But that's not how we're saved. We're saved through the sacrifice of Jesus, this suffering servant. Our gospel from John has John the Baptist pointing out Jesus and saying, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Does that sound familiar to you? I hope so, because you hear it every Sunday. "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." That is not just some tagline. By pointing him out as the Lamb, Jews of that time would have instantly recognized what he was saying, I think. And certainly after Jesus' death and resurrection, they then fully understood what John the Baptist was saying. A lamb has great significance in the Jewish mind because that was the choice sacrifice that was offered to God, was an unblemished lamb. And incorporated within one of the most sacred rituals of theirs, one of the most sacred remembrances that they do is the Passover meal, remembering the deliverance that God made to them from sin, not from sin necessarily, but from slavery in Egypt, which signifies sin. And as you recall, in the evening twilight, a lamb was taken and slaughtered for each family, and the blood was placed on the doorposts of their home so that the angel of death might pass over them and as he went about striking down the firstborn of the Egyptians. The Egyptians, of course, represent the life of sin and those who identify themselves by sin. And so, in just the same way, it's the blood of the Lamb, Jesus, smeared on the doorposts, as it were, on the posts of the cross, which is the doorway to heaven. It's the doorway to salvation. It is through the blood of that Lamb that the sins of the world are taken away, that we can know salvation. And so, this suffering servant, this Jesus, who is God, and yet also man, who sheds his blood for us, this is how we come to salvation. And we come to that possibility through our baptism, being pulled into the family of God through our baptism, and through the sacraments, particularly the Eucharist and confession, we become more and more conformed to him, more and more molded to be like him. And then we, one day, will come to salvation through him, not through ourselves, but through him. When we come to communion today, when we hear the words, "Behold the Lamb of God," let's recall who it is that does all this for us, that it isn't us, and recall just how profound his devotion to us is, and that calls us, we ourselves, to a greater and deeper awareness of our need to be devoted to him.